The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Viktor Frankl was a neurologist and psychologist from Austria. He was in Vienna when the Nazis invaded. And in 1942, he was taken as a prisoner to a concentration camp, along with his family. He had just married less than a year before that. His wife would die in the concentration camps, and so would much of his family. But Viktor Frankl survived. And after the war, he finished a book called Man's Search for Meaning. And he wrote about what he saw in the concentration camps, about the people who survived. Who do you think was most likely to survive in the concentration camp? I would think the healthiest and strongest people. He found that wasn't true. It was the people who believed in a purpose, that their life had a deeper meaning than the pain and suffering they were going through. It was the people who believed in something larger than themselves, that they were part of a larger story, that there was a better life waiting for them. We come together every Sunday in the midst of our own struggles, our pain, and we remind ourselves that we are part of a larger story, that our lives have a deeper meaning, that there's a better life waiting for us. We're here because we believe there is a larger story. It's God's story. And we heard part of that story this morning in God's storybook, the Bible. And when we read God's story, we're invited to see ourselves in the pages, to see our own lives reflected in the characters in the story. And today, we heard from Matthew, the story of the wise men. And Matthew invites us to join them on their journey, to walk the many miles with them to Jerusalem. Matthew invites us to take a seat in Herod's palace in Jerusalem. He invites us to wonder with the chief priests and teachers of the law if there might be something new to learn, if there might be something worth seeing in Bethlehem. So as we move through this story together, I want us to ask ourselves, who am I in this story? Who am I in this story? What does God want to teach me today through this story? What sort of change does God want to see in my life? Because we're part of God's story. So that when we walk through those doors today, we'll walk away different. We'll go home by a different road because we've been changed in the presence of King Jesus. So our story begins with these wise men from the East. We don't know exactly who they were. They were probably from near Babylon or maybe Persia. And they were astrologers. They studied the stars. They knew all the constellations. And they would read the stars to understand their own lives. They believed the stars had signs about events on the earth. And one night they see a star they've never seen before, a star that stands out, a star that draws them on a journey. So they leave their homeland, and they travel many, many miles across deserts, over mountains, following this star. And finally, they arrive at what they think is their final destination, Jerusalem, the great city of Jerusalem. But the people in Jerusalem that see these foreigners don't see them as such wise men. They're not just foreigners and Gentiles. They're pagans. They're idolaters. They don't know the one true God. And yet they come as worshipers, seeking this newborn king. Can you see yourselves in the wise men? Maybe you know what it's like to be on a long journey. Maybe you know what it's like to be judged for where you come from, what you look like, who you are. I think all of us know what it's like to be on a journey of faith, seeking answers to the deep questions of our lives. I think there's a wise man or a wise woman in each of us. There's a pilgrim in each of us trying to find our way to Bethlehem. But for now, these wise men know nothing about Bethlehem. They've never heard of Bethlehem. They arrive in Jerusalem. Jerusalem, this great city, this center of power in Israel. And they enter the palace. That's where you would look if you wanted to find a new king. But there are no baby boys in the palace. Instead, they find King Herod on the throne, and he is very upset about this news that a new king has been born in Israel. Herod didn't care if this new king was God's promised one. He didn't care. All Herod cared about was protecting his power, his throne, and he does it with ruthless and wicked power. You saw that when Herod heard about it, he was very upset. Everyone in Jerusalem was troubled too, because when Herod was upset, you better watch out. Caesar Augustus, the emperor of the Roman Empire, made a joke about Herod. He said he would rather be Herod's pig than Herod's son, because Herod was Jewish and he would never eat pork, so he would never kill a pig. But Herod had already killed 3 of his own sons to protect his throne. 3 of his own sons. That's how much Herod wanted to keep his power. So it shouldn't be a surprise that Herod would be prepared to kill anyone else that was a threat to his throne, even a little baby boy. So Herod goes to find out more about this newborn king. He calls together all the chief priests and the teachers of the law, and he asks them, where will the Messiah be born? And he's already plotting how to eliminate this threat. I don't want to see myself in King Herod. None of us want to see ourselves in Herod. Herod is the big king who resists the little king. But isn't that the story of our own hearts? That in our own eyes, we are the queens and kings of our life. We are the ruler, and we do not want to share our throne. We do not want to step aside and give over our power and our control. Maybe there's a Herod in each of us trying to stay on the throne. Herod goes to the chief priests and teachers of the law. They're the wisest and holiest people in Israel. These guys, they keep all of God's laws. They know all the rules. They say all the right things. They're always to church early, praying in the seats while other people come late. They know their Bible inside and out. They have all the right answers. So when Herod asks them where the Messiah will be born, they don't even have to think about it. Bethlehem. They just know it. Now, we don't hear any more about these priests and teachers of the law. But if they have heard about these visitors, these heathen astrologers, talking about some star, they would probably laugh. What did these idolaters know of our God? The priests would refuse to listen to their news. The teachers would refuse to become their students because they already have God's truth. They don't need anything else. So none of them are willing to leave Jerusalem and walk the short 6 miles to Bethlehem. Do you see yourself in the chief priests and teachers of the law? Anyone? As adopted members of God's family, all of us are in danger of trusting our traditions and our knowledge more than the living God, who may want to teach us something new and fresh that we didn't know before. Our pride can close us off to God's new life. We can become so comfortable in what we know that we refuse to listen, and therefore we can't grow. But this story shows us that God is at work in people and in places that we do not expect. In idolaters in Babylon and in a baby boy in Bethlehem. The light of Jesus shines for all people, even on us who think we know God so well. So here we are in Jerusalem with the wise men, with King Herod, with the chief priests and teachers of the law. Did you notice that all of them thought they had already arrived at their destination? They all thought they had reached the place they needed to be. Herod is on his throne. He's not going anywhere. The chief priests and teachers of the law have all the answers. Why should they leave Jerusalem? Even the wise men think Jerusalem is their destination. Of course, that's where they will find the king, in the palace. But there's still more traveling to do. Everyone in the story receives the same invitation to leave Jerusalem and go on to Bethlehem. But only the wise men do. Only these foreigners, these pagans, these idolaters have the faith to journey on, to see the light that shines for them. You know, after hundreds and hundreds of miles of their journey, I wonder if those last 6 miles were the longest to go from Jerusalem to Bethlehem. Because they have to change their expectations. They came expecting to find a wealthy and powerful king who'd just been born, surrounded by guards in a palace. But he's not there. He's not in Jerusalem. He's in some no-name town out in the country, an ordinary village, some poor little house. That's where this king is waiting for them. As I thought about the wise men arriving in Bethlehem, and they find Mary with the child, where the star has led them, I wondered if they could even communicate with Mary. These are men from a foreign land, and they must know some Greek to communicate with Herod in the palace. But they don't know the local language, Aramaic. That's what Mary spoke. She probably didn't know much Greek at all. So these wise men arrive, and they can't really communicate well. But they're not there to see Mary or to have conversation. They're there to get down on their knees, to offer their gifts, to offer their worship that is deeper than words, that comes from the deepest place of their heart, where their true treasure lies. It made me think of what the prophet Habakkuk says. The Lord is in his holy temple. Let the whole earth be silent before him. Worship deeper than words. It also makes me think of the BES here. Not all of us can communicate easily with one another. But what has brought us together? King Jesus. King Jesus. And we come to bow down with our truest worship that goes beyond words. Matthew ends his gospel with something you've heard before, the Great Commission. When Jesus says, "Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations." Here at the beginning of Matthew, I think he's foreshadowing something. Because the wise men, these Gentiles, are really the first missionaries for Christ. They are the ones who have seen the Messiah, and they go back to their home country with this good news. That's our heritage. That's our heritage of faith, friends. We are all Gentiles. We've all come from a place of not knowing God, and we've been adopted into God's family as daughters and sons. And we've been sent with this good news to carry it wherever we go. We started by asking the question, who am I in this story? Who am I? What does God want to teach me? I don't know if you saw yourselves in the story, in the wise men, in King Herod, in the priests and teachers. Maybe you didn't see yourself much at all. But today, each of us has the same invitation: to leave our Jerusalem and to go on to Bethlehem. No matter where we've come from, no matter what challenges we're living with, or what privilege we have, no matter how much we know or how little we know, no matter what gifts we have to offer or what we might lose, we all get the same invitation to leave our Jerusalem, to leave our place of security and comfort and self-confidence, and go to Bethlehem to find the light of God that leads to new life. And we don't just make this journey once. We must walk those 6 miles from Jerusalem to Bethlehem again and again and again, because we all want to stay in Jerusalem. We want to stay in Jerusalem, where the power is, where the knowledge is, where we think all the answers are. But God says, no, I have something more waiting for you. But you need to leave Jerusalem. Go to Bethlehem. It's waiting for you. So we leave behind the power we've been holding on to, the control. We have to let the Herod of our heart step off the throne so that the true king can reign in us. We have to go to Bethlehem again to leave behind the pride we've been holding on to that stops us from being open to what God wants to teach us, to the fresh mercy of God, to see what needs to change in our lives. So we go to Bethlehem again and lay down the precious things we've been carrying, to lay down our lives in the presence of God, to say, yes, I want to be changed. I want to be transformed by this light. So that when we leave and go home again, we go home new people. We've been changed. We've been changed. We choose a different road, a narrow path, a path that leads to life. And because we've laid down all we had in Bethlehem, we've received the greatest gift of all, the knowledge and love that Jesus Christ is King. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.